Welcome to Cuckoo Bananas.
Hey,
that's Kate Gainey right
and
there.
that's Mike Buongiorno over there.
How are you? How are you, folks?
How y'all doing?
Kate, how are you doing?
I'm actually doing really well. I've been feeling pretty good. I've been working now for a few weeks.
Tell us. Yes, you were about to start working in the last episode. Tell
Yeah.
us how the job is, how it's going.
It's so great. It really is. And I don't feel, I'm not worried that I'm being tricked and that it's just like, you know, NRE, new relationship energy, and I'm all excited because it's like a new place and whatever, it's going to wear off, because I'm getting to know a lot of my coworkers who have been there for years and years and still feel the same way about where we work. So yeah. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited.
You like your coworkers?
Excited. I like my coworkers. I like everybody I work with, and I feel appreciated, which is really nice.
Yeah.
You know, one of the big fears I had was that, like, you know, all my knowledge and my ability had somehow left me in the years that I was just sitting at home.
You lost everything. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think neurodivergent people can relate. I think mothers can relate. Like, you kind of, you know, it changes everything about you. And I think when you're a stay-at-home parent for any amount of time, it does affect the way you socialize and things like that. And I think re-entry into an environment like a workplace is overwhelming. And I haven't really done that in about 8 years.
Wow.
So,
on Monday morning after the weekend, I'm like, do I still know how to do this job?
Right.
So, yeah, to me,
it doesn't go away.
Any amount of time, I'm like, shit, I take a day off and I'm like, wait, can I still do this? So 8 years, I would feel so terrified.
I really was like, and not even just the things to do, particularly with my field. Like, I was worried I didn't know how to like interact with people anymore. And sure, I'm socially awkward. Who the fuck isn't? But, you know, I still remember how to do it all. Like, I remember how to interact with clients, and I remember all the medicinal stuff as well, and all of these things that I thought I forgot. It really has been like riding a bike and then some, because I have people who appreciate my existing knowledge and want to help me build upon it. And that's really cool, because I haven't had that in a while.
That's awesome. And does it feel, it must feel good to have some place to go.
So good. It's really nice to have a routine.
Yes, of course. Yes.
It forces me into a routine, and it's helping me to take care of myself better in some other ways too. Like, I've started making it a habit that every morning I drink like a vitamin drink thing. And that's something that I was able to start doing with work, because I would get myself ready to leave for the day and I'd bring my little vitamin packet and my water bottle. And like, that helped me start that habit too. So I'm grateful for it giving some structure to my days, because especially in the summer without a kid in school, like, I could just lose time completely.
Yeah. I feel you. I think routine is super important for the neurodivergent. I do things, there are things that I do every day, big and little, that even if they're kind of a pain in the ass to do them, having done them every day for years, it feels like, well, I know that I still exist because I have to do this thing. Like, I'm not going to fall into a black hole of non-existence because I still have to meditate today, or I still have to floss today.
Right. I remember seeing something kind of early on in quarantine when everybody was still coping using Animal Crossing. And it was like, even if your reason to keep going is just that your villagers on Animal Crossing are going to wonder where you are, like, that's fine. And like, I feel like that's the same concept, like, just having something to do. And of course, being a parent, I always have something to do. But it helps having something to do for myself, something that, feels rewarding for me.
Shit, I had a train of thought that I lost.
Relatable.
I know, right? It just went right out of my stupid little brain.
Train left the station.
Well, damn, since you're talking good news, tell me something bad.
Shit, I don't know.
Tell
You
me
know what I mean? Oh
something
no, I
bad.
actually no. Tell me something bad.
Tell me what upsets you.
I wanted to talk about, because I think this is a thing that people need to talk about and need to recognize that isn't just like a tantrum or anything like that. Rejection sensitive dysphoria and the spiral that comes with that is a very real thing. And I had an experience with it yesterday into today. And like, it sometimes feels really silly. You know,
How
as
did
I
you
said,
find that for me?
so rejection sensitive dysphoria, it's so it happens when a person, usually with ADHD, I've heard this symptom in conjunction with, experiences either an outward rejection or a perceived rejection. And it just turns into this whole thing where you go down this spiral of not being worthy, and it like the rejection turns into a much larger thing. It's not just the thing that's happening in front of you, but it's everything. And it happened over something so small yesterday, and it just sent me down this whole thing where I, felt like, because it's this weird experience, because I'm also aware of the fact that I'm spiraling. I know that it's happening. And it makes me worried that like other people won't want to do what's necessary to meet me in the middle and be a person in my life, whether that's a partner, a friend, whatever. Like, I'm doing all the work I can do to handle that symptom. I'm doing everything I can, but it's never going to go away. I mean, like, somebody with MS is going to have tremors. And somebody like me is going to have these spirals. And I do everything I can to be aware of it, to manage it.
This is very this is something I'm not a I'm not I've never heard of. I've heard of behavior like this, but I've never heard that term that you used. And so I'm unfamiliar with it, although maybe I've experienced it or things like it. What was the rejection, real or perceived, that you experienced? And like, what does that do? Like, it makes you think, oh, I probably deserve that because I suck, and then on and onward.
Yeah, or that I'm just not lovable. So yesterday it was a really simple situation. I was not in a great mood, and then my family and I were gonna go out, and I had it in my head like, okay, we're leaving the bad mood behind. When we walk outside the door, the bad mood's gone. We're leaving it in the house, and whatever. And I was starting to like be playful and silly and stuff, and I did something that my husband didn't want me to do. Like, I threw something in the shopping cart, and he was like, "Can you not throw things in the shopping cart, please?" Totally reasonable request. But in my head, I was like, "I'm annoying. He's bothered by me. I was over the top, and I'm too much. And
I see. Okay.
now he doesn't like me anymore. And nobody ever likes me, and nobody ever liked me. And when I was a kid, I felt this, and it just goes and goes and goes and goes."
Right. Especially because you were going out on a limb, kind of.
Right. I was already making myself vulnerable, like trying to overcompensate for the fact that I was in a bad mood. Like, I was like, okay, we're turning this around. And I was just, so I wanted to look up rejection sensitive dysphoria to give like a more full kind of definition. So it's when a person feels intense emotional pain related to rejection.
Okay.
It's always triggered by the perceived or real loss of approval, love, or respect.
Okay. It's probably 99% of the time perceived. Because
Oh, yeah.
even when somebody tells you, can you not throw that? It doesn't mean I don't love you. It just means,
Right.
can you not throw that?
It just means please don't do that. Yeah. And it's difficult, and
Yeah.
I don't know, actually thinking about it makes me feel childish to need that kind of reassurance. And I think, as we try to teach children, or we expect children to learn how to control their emotions completely, and so having any sort of emotional display is seen as childlike. And it's not. We don't stop experiencing intense emotions. We do get better at dealing with them. I didn't start screaming and crying and kicking in the middle of the aisle in the grocery store. And we do learn how to manage them, but we still have very intense feelings that are worth expressing. And that's not childlike, that's human. Like,
When I taught on the college level, someone had made for me a rate my professor page, and other people had said, don't read it, just don't read it. But I would read it, and the positive ones would get me high. I mean, the serotonin was incredible. I mean, it
I'm
literally got
sure.
me high. But then the negative ones would send me in a spiral for days. I would go, oh my God, because also, like, I was like, damn, they're right on. They're exactly right. They've seen through me to see the heart of me. And then I go, which, who, I try to think about everyone I ever taught, and I go, what student was that? They must hate me. I'm a joke. And it would just, but then, every couple of months I would check again because I'd be like, oh, there's probably a new one. And I knew people who were like, no, you never check.
Right.
But how can you not? I just read a book called Don't Read the Comments.
Yeah, I know that that's like a common like ideology. I know, like, I've heard celebrities talk about that in interviews, heard Brené Brown talk about it when she talks about shame and all that jazz.
Yeah.
And I also, I don't know how true it is, but I've heard that it's kind of an evolutionary thing that we receive negative feedback more intensely than we receive positive feedback, because that's the threat to our, perceived survival. Like, in that instance, you're a professor, that's your livelihood, and somebody being critical of the way you do that is a threat to your livelihood. It's a threat to your job and the way you stay secure. And so your brain makes a bigger deal of that rejection than of any sort of acceptance or praise.
And at
But I
that point,
think,
it was a threat to my identity too, because I had wrapped so much of my identity in it.
sure.
So it was such a threat.
Yep. Yep.
But I remember an older mentor saying to me, well, they can't all like you. Like, you understand that, right? Like, you have a
Right.
whole class full of human beings. They say, of course they can't all like you.
Great. Glad to hear it.
What the fuck? Who woke you up? What
Wow.
did I say that made him wake up?
No clue. That was
Listen
creepy.
to that. Terrifying.
Was unnerving, just a bit.
I don't even know what to say now. The government's listening to us.
Be very careful what you say. So yeah, rejection sensitive dysphoria. The spiral is,
Are you out of it? Did you pull yourself out of it?
and it wasn't alone. I talked some things through with a friend, and that was very, very helpful. It's rough, and I also, like, I have experiences growing up that feed that idea.
Huh.
So one of the things I think about all the time, I'm like, I feel like a lot of women are able to talk about like these really tumultuous friendships they had when they were like young women. And, like I know teenage boys have like the stereotypes and the things that are associated with them. And so do teenage girls. And there's a lot of truth to that, I think. And one of the things that like haunts me. So a game that my friends and I used to play in junior high school, we would pretend that we had one of each of our friends like in our hands, like we were holding their hands and they were dangling off a cliff, and we could only save one person, and we would ask, who would you save?
So you would
Which is,
just play Sophie's Choice for fun.
yeah, fucking crazy. We also at
100%.
sleepovers would literally wrestle each other and fight. And then we'd also have like singing competitions and stuff. It was fucking nuts. I think back on
Wait.
the shit and I'm like, this is insane. But I was never the one anyone saved ever. I was always the one that was let go. I wasn't ever picked. And I think that's I think that like fucked me up. I think it's a big reason I try not to think of things or of my relationships or of people in my life in terms of rank. There is never going to be a time where I have two people I love dangling off a cliff and I can only save one. So why the fuck am I going to cater to that thought and try to think that way? Like, why am I going to try to compare these relationships in my life that are unique and special and don't need to be compared to each other?
But in the case of the sleepover, it feels like that's just purposefully hurtful, weird little girl shit.
Yeah, it fucked me up. As you know, now I know a neurodivergent person at that point, just feeling like a really sensitive kid. A lot of that shit really fucked me up, like really badly. That was a hard time. The ages of like, I would say like 11 to 15. Like there was a lot of really fucked up stuff and a lot of things that I think influenced the way I learned to build relationships, and that now in retrospect, I've learned, exactly what not to do and all of that stuff. But at the time, I learned some very unhealthy ways to connect with people.
With me, from like age 12 to age 17, I spent a lot of time with people who didn't really like me. Like, I was a friend of someone, and they were all kind of that person's friend, and they didn't really like me, or they would pretend to like me, or they would kind of like me, but not really a lot. And I would not really have my own personality show. I didn't nurture my own personality. I had my own interests and things, but I really kind of hid those things.
Right.
Like painful things, like being made fun of, or like, I remember like taking like a car service, and all the other kids ran out, and I had to pay the bill, which is like, not only do I have to pay, but like you feel betrayal, but you're kind of like, okay, I can't cry. I have to laugh this off like it's a prank, even though
Yep.
it's so much sharper than a prank. It's the kind of thing that should just end the relationship, but you're like, I'm a kid, so I have to be like, oh, you guys suck, but really, like, I'm dying. And you
Yep.
can't get an answer as to why they even did that to you. Like, a lot of shit like that.
Yeah, definitely. I feel the more I talk to people about my own experiences and I listen to others, like I think that is a common experience in early teenage years, for at least for neurodivergent people, people who don't fit the quote unquote normie, like, mold, I think were really easy to pick on. And I saw a very, it was just a meme or whatever, but it said, like, you say you would never make fun of somebody autistic, but you'll make f fun of somebody for being a picky eater or making weird little sounds or, not wanting to touch a certain whatever. Like, it went on to list all these things that, like, People would make fun of somebody for, and people don't see, like they don't, there's a ton of cognitive dissonance. They think, well, I would never make fun of a person, you know, I would never make fun of something a person can't help like that. I wouldn't make fun of an autistic person. I wouldn't make fun of a person for a disorder or whatever.
It's like you
Do.
possibly have. I'm sorry, you probably
Right.
that
I'm
nerd
sure I have.
in first grade, that nerd that like sat alone and only like drew Pikachu or whatever, and you made fun of him, like he probably was on the spectrum.
Right.
Or also like that homeless person that you laughed at and called them crazy, they probably are schizophrenic or have something else that's really troubling them, but you just see them
Right.
as like a bum and therefore not a human.
I think I read about this idea that like neurotypical people assume that I forget what they called it, but it's basically the assumption that you must have done something that makes you deserve what's happening. Like the homeless person deserves being homeless. They've made choices that have led them here and they deserve that. They don't see that this person is battling X, Y, and Z. And the fact that they're alive is a triumph because their experience with life is not the same as your experience with life.
And I think people also buy into that because it lets them off the hook for not helping.
Right.
Like whenever somebody like you know, whenever somebody like doesn't give a dollar or give change to a homeless person, it's rare that somebody ever goes like, "Oh, I just don't want to do it because I don't want to give them my money." You know what I mean? Like usually they have some bullshit thing like, "Oh, well, they're just gonna spend it on something stupid," or "Oh, they
Yeah.
deserve to be in that spot." And it's like, all right, you know what? Just say you don't want to part with your money. Like,
Right.
don't come up with this reason as to why they don't deserve it.
Right. They're a human being and they deserve to
Right.
be out on the street begging people for money.
Also, this wasn't like their first choice.
Right.
No one's like, all right, I graduated high school. I guess now I'll ask for money. Like, there's definitely
I
a lot of other things that happened between then
know,
and.
so, yeah, for sure.
Ugh.
Yeah, so I mean, just that idea of being too much in some way, just because of
Yeah.
the way I operate. I feel things very intensely. I cannot regulate my moods on my own. You know, there's going to be really fun stuff about that. And then there's going to be stuff that's not so fun. And I'm not, the way I've put it when I've spoken to my husband about it, like, I'm not an entry level relationship, I'm expert level. Like to be able to have like an ongoing relationship with me, like it's not simple. It involves a lot of emotional awareness. It involves being able to, you know, do a lot of things. And I acknowledge that, you know what I mean? I know that it's not easy to be a partner to me or anything like that. Like not. But I also feel guilty saying that because, like, it also is. I'm also really great and really worthy of good things. But
I mean, but
it.
well, I don't when you threw that thing in the car and he said, "Can you not do that?" He could have been himself in a bad mood, unhappy, embarrassed about something. Who knows what? You know what I mean? Like there's a million personal things to him.
Right.
Why?
Right. And it's also, you know, I then can feel guilt about what I'm experiencing because sometimes it becomes so outward or so overwhelming that it overshadows what he's feeling. Or, you know, if it's a situation where I'm having some sort of conflict with a friend or whatever, like because my shit is so big, because my feelings are so huge, and because the same experience for me is leading to a ton of things firing off in my brain, telling me I'm not worthy and I'm not lovable. And I should just end it all now because this is just what my life is always going to be. And I'm constantly going to be in conflict and nobody's going to want to love me. But it makes it huge and overwhelming. And I want to be able to acknowledge what the other side of this interaction is going through and to be able to help them. But I can't.
Right.
Because my brain's doing the thing it does, and that I can't stop it from doing.
Mm-hmm.
I can be aware of it though, and I can say, like, hey, I'm spiraling right now. I can't do this. And that's what I do. And that's what I try to do is say, like, and now I'm in the spiral, and I'll try to ask for reassurance and things like that, which I feel guilty about because I always feel bad asking for something, especially when this person is also having their own experience and their own emotional difficulties and everything. It's, basically, it's all to say that, like, these experiences are all layered. Like, I'm not a selfish person who thinks only my feelings matter. And I think that's a thing that I struggled with growing up and that I still struggle with. That I worry I'll be perceived that way, that I'm selfish, or that I only care about my own feelings or how I'm going through something, because it's not true. It's just sometimes I literally can't help it. My brain tells me that I'm dying and I'm worthless, and I have to be vigilant and I have to be entirely consumed by this emotion, and I have to handle it, otherwise I won't live.
Well, I guess, I mean, at least you're aware of it. I mean, it's one of those things that that's all that that's the best you can that's the best you can do at this. Just no. Oh, I'm doing the thing. Brain is doing that thing. My brain's lying to me again. My brain is jumping to all sorts of conclusions again.
And that's really the only thing that you can do for it is be aware of it, communicate about it, try to set yourself up in moments when it's not happening, so that you're able to handle it when it does. Like I try to, once I'm on the other side of it, so to speak, think about what could have helped me better, and I try to communicate that to the people in my life. And this is what I mean when I say it's an expert level relationship. Like it's gonna be conversations, and these things aren't going to stop happening. And I do need help in managing them. Like there's only so much I can do on my own, and I am doing that. But communication works two ways. And while I need to try to meet others, where they are, and not get lost in my own feelings or things like that, I need to try and meet them where they're at too. I also need to be met where I'm at sometimes. And I think that's hard for a neurodivergent person to ask for sometimes. And basically, the whole reason I'm talking about this is just to let other people know when they go through this that, like, you're not a terrible person because you have special needs. And you are still worth love and care and all of that. And even if it's hard, or if it takes more energy or whatever, you're worth it. And even if, it means that you have less friends or whatever, the right people will stick around.
All right. Let me tell you a little bit,
Tell me.
about my day today.
Please do.
So, my job at my job, it kind of goes by months. In every month, I have a certain amount of things I have to do, and I have a certain amount of things I have to achieve, and a lot of things to check off. And at when the month begins, I'm usually like hit the ground running and work really, really hard, 'cause so I can not at the end of the month have to like play catch up, which a lot of people in my job seem to do. They kind of like slack off, and then at the end of the month they're like, oh, how do I gotta get everything done. So I work hard in the beginning, and then last week I had a really, really crazy week, and I was really stressed out, and I had a lot of stuff to do, but I kept saying like, well, next week I have an easy week. So if I could just get past this week to next week, things will be great. So today was Monday, and guess how I felt today?
Did it carry over from last week, or
Oh, no. What I felt was lazy and guilty and feeling like
no.
unproductive and feeling like, oh no, I should be doing more. And really, didn't enjoy any of it. And I kept having this panic in my brain of, oh my God, I'm slacking off. Oh my God, I'm slacking off. And I had to be like, no, like you worked so hard to get this little bit of time where you can go easy.
Right, where you can take it slightly more easily.
Then I hate myself and I'm like, oh, you're so lazy. This is what's wrong with you. You're lazy. It's everything, like your mother always said about you when you were a teenager. Like you're lazy and you're lax in
Yeah.
school and you're unproductive and you don't get things done and you'll never achieve anything. And also, it's a slippery slope. I'm a big one of my big mental fallacies is slippery slope thinking. So like I'm like, oh well, you know what? If I go easy this week, then next week when I have to work again, I'm gonna also go easy, and then I'm gonna lose my job, and then I'm never gonna have a life. Like, my brain can't just go, okay, I'm gonna take it easy this week and enjoy that because I earned it. It's the food.
Right.
It's the thing I earned already. It's the reward for the work that has been done. And know, have faith that when next week comes and it's the beginning of the next month, you will work again as you have. But my brain won't do that. My brain is like, no, this is a slippery slope. You're a lazy piece of shit. I basically did not really, I didn't have a lot of work to do today. I don't have a lot of work. My work is done. But I was just like, I felt like shit today. And I'm like, as I go into Tuesday, I'm like, okay, like I don't have shit to do. I'm gonna try to use this time to like do any little things that maybe I've been ignoring, but I really don't have shit to do. And I have to the work is how do I work to allow myself to fucking relax? Like that's the challenge.
Right.
The challenge is you got nothing to do. When you have shit to do, you do it. So now you've got
Right.
nothing to do. Congratulations. So now don't do anything. But my brain is like, no. Now,
There's got to be something we should be doing.
right. And the energy that would be going into being productive, working on stuff, that energy will just like turn inward and be about myself and like just hating myself. I mean, everything comes back to that. Everything comes back to like a little bit like what you were saying before. Like everything comes back to like, well, I'm a piece of shit. And it's just like, I've been given evidence that I am a piece of shit. And if I feel like, yeah.
I feel like when you're experiencing some sort of negative feeling, your brain tries to give you a reason that you deserve it. And so
Right.
you call up all your worst hits.
Right. And right. And I think about like times that I genuinely was maybe lazy, but now we're going back 20 years. We're going back half my life.
Right.
And by the way, even
But you
then,
say you tell yourself that's who I am, that's who I've always been, and but like
right.
you'll try to make sense of it.
But even then, the reason I cut school every day in sophomore year was because I was depressed, not because I was lazy. My parents just thought I was lazy, right?
Right,
I mean,
that
I've
was just
actually
how
been
they saw
lazy.
that.
But that's the thing. It's the juggling thing. Like, as much as I get stressed out working really hard, I have to say that like when I do work really hard, I at least feel like I'm keeping the house of cards up.
Right.
I'm keeping, yeah, I'm gonna have a car tomorrow. I'm gonna have food that I can eat.
I have to say that being back at work has given me some of that too, and I kind
It's
of
good.
hate it because I don't want to put that power in the hands of capitalism.
Sure. No, yeah.
But it's nice to feel productive, and I do work that I believe matters. I'm not just going, like, I don't know that I'd feel this way if I was going to a store to sell some stuff or whatever. Like, I do work that I believe in and that I think is
Right.
important. And so I think that, helps. But that I agree, like, when you're doing something and feeling like, okay, I'm going to see this return to me. It feels good and it makes it hard to relax because it's like, well, what am I doing that's going to be returned to me now? Like, what am I doing to set myself up in the future right now?
Right. Well, like my to-do, I have a to-do list that I'm constantly taking things off of, and it's the best feeling to take something off a to-do list, right? That's what we talked about, I think, in the last episode. I think the last episode is titled What was the name of the last episode? Like closing out a sticky or something. I
Closing
forget.
stickies,
Yeah.
yeah.
And right now I don't have any because I fucking did it.
Because you caught up with them.
Take the fucking victory lap. Like that's what there's like a one, there's like 10% of me that like is so angry at the other 90%.
Right.
It's like, douchebag, you did it. You fucking did it.
You did the
What
thing so that you could relax and still.
Right. And I'm not trying to brag, but I'm doing well at work. I'm doing well at work. My supervisors have
Brag on it.
doing well.
Good for you. Fuck yeah, brag
I'm doing well because I work hard and I
it.
want to do well. And like you, like your situation, I feel like what I'm doing matters. I work with disabled people. So
Right. You
like,
take pride in your work and it
yeah.
shows. And when you do that and that's appreciated, it feels fucking great.
Right. So let me tell you something good.
Do it.
I had vacation time and I took off the week of Halloween.
How delightful.
And in some small way, I feel like I've achieved all my dreams.
That's amazing.
I'm taking off from the 25th of October to November 2nd.
That's beautiful.
Because I was gonna go back November 1st, and then Jen was like, yeah, but then all of Halloween you'll have the scaries. Like you don't wanna
Yeah.
have be you like give yourself a day or another day. And I was like, yeah, that's true. That's super true. And you know,
Very good point.
fall is my t favorite time, Halloween is my favorite time, and my new job that I've had for 7 months gives me vacation, and I was able to pick my favorite time of year, and that's great. And Jen is also taking off, so we're gonna like try to like we're looking for
You're
some.
gonna Humpty Dumpty it.
Yeah, we're gonna have
You're
a
gonna have a
fun
great fall.
show.
Excited for you.
Right now we're looking for some place to stay, upstate New York, someplace cute and cozy and maybe a little spooky that will be pet friendly.
Okay.
That's what we're looking for. So like, I don't know, I've been looking around Sleepy Hollow and things like that. So we'll find someplace cute that we could bring our dog, and yeah, it'll be the fucking best.
That is going to be the fucking best. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you so much.
That is something really wonderful to look forward to. It's good
It
shit.
really is. It really is. Because like working on Halloween, it's like, come on, guys, what are we doing? This is the most
Right?
important day of the year. Why are we working?
Supposed to be experiencing nothing but joy and scaries.
Right. Our relatives are coming back from the dead to visit us, and we're at work.
And we're working, please.
So tell me something good with you, but besides your great new job.
So I feel like this is something good for probably a lot of people this week, but man, was it delightful to go see Barbie.
Fuck yeah, it was.
Oh my God, it was really just the most delightful experience. Everybody was so positive to each other. Everybody was going in dressed up and everybody
Yes.
was complimenting each other's outfits, and it was just really, really beautiful.
Yeah, it really was. I've seen it twice, and
Nice.
both times, similar situation to what you described. People in pink, people dressed up, just like incredible. And it just shows that there's an audience. There's half the fucking population that would love a movie made for them.
Yeah.
And what's gonna happen now? And I said this on my other podcast. Is it's gonna make $1 zillion, and then Hollywood's gonna be like, oh yeah, there are women, just like what happened when Bridesmaid was successful.
Right.
So then they'll make like a bunch of more movies for women about women, and then one will fail inevitably, and then they'll be like, oh, I guess people don't like women anymore, and then they'll stop until they
Yeah.
learn the lesson again.
So much fun.
Yeah,
What a
it's
fun cycle it is.
yeah. But it's such a funny movie, it's such a smart movie, it's such a sweet movie.
It was absolutely delightful.
Let me think. As you're, so this is gonna come out Monday, next Monday. So 2 days from now, from when you're hearing this, you can go to over to my other podcast, Pop Culture Man Children, and I have a whole episode on Barbie.
Fuck yeah.
And
Dive deep. Get
I
into the
dive very
barb.
deep into it, very deep into it. But I had something interesting, which is I saw it twice, and the first time I didn't totally love it, but I was kind of like, who cares? How about that? Like, I'm why do white middle-aged men feel like everything has to be for them?
Right.
Like, I could see everyone around me was loving it. So my opinion, valid as it might be or whatever, is also undesired and unimportant.
Right, you're not the target audience.
Right. Everything
Great if
else.
you like it, and if you don't, okay, fine, then just don't like it. Like,
Right. And then the second time I saw it, I loved it. Like, I don't know what, I just something about it clicked in with me.
yeah.
But fuck me, you know what I mean? Who gives a shit what I think? How about that?
How about that?
But
Yeah, I very much enjoyed the movie going experience of seeing Barbie. And like that's big for me. Like I love going to the movies and I love a good movie going experience.
yeah.
It matters to me almost as much as whether or not I like the film. Like
Sure.
I enjoy a really good movie experience. I can think of films that I don't like that I just had a great time at the theater seeing it, you know?
Yeah. Could you
I feel
go?
like it can be a separate thing. I went with my good friend Nicole, and we got together before the movie and spent time getting ready and all dolled up together and stuff. We had a really great time. Probably my favorite moment was when the person next to us got their drink brought over to them, and the server told him, "Enjoy." Without like missing a beat,
Amazing.
without making a big deal of it, he just like enjoy and moved on. And it was
Incredible.
perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And it really just
Did you
put
go
the
to the
nail in the
Alamo?
coffin. We did.
Yeah.
We did.
I went to the Alamo too, and everyone working there was would greet you, "Hi Barbie." Hi
Love
Barbie.
it. I'm Barbie. I love it so much. It was such a great time. What a fun experience. I love that's such a fun thing that humans do. I was saying this to my friend Nicole as we were going into the theater. Like, I love when humans do silly things like this. Like,
Yeah.
it's one of the reasons that I enjoy going to sporting events, even though I'm not a big sports fan. Like,
Huh.
I just like when we're all doing a silly thing together, when whether that's all wearing the
Yeah.
same color or cheering for the same team or whatever. I like that. It's just a
Yeah.
really cute thing that humans do.
Right. Absolutely.
It endears me to humans, to humanity.
What was your favorite part of the movie? And we'll say spoiler alerts if you haven't seen it yet. You could skip ahead a little bit.
Weird Barbie.
Weird Barbie, sure.
Weird Barbie was absolutely 100% my favorite part. Very relatable. I found it just hilarious that
Yeah.
they made that a character because every kid had that Barbie.
Sure.
I love it.
Weird Barbie.
Weird
So
Barbie was my favorite. I
you
mean,
feel like playing with her too hard.
and also like the real truths that Weird Barbie was giving you. Like Weird Barbie has seen some shit.
Yeah.
And like I identify with that. Like sometimes
Yeah.
you just go through the ringer and you come out changed and you're not going to be able to have regular conversations with people anymore.
Yeah.
Now you're just Weird Barbie and that's
Yeah. You're weird
that.
now. Yeah.
What would you say was your favorite part?
My favorite s moment is when she's on the bench and she has the vision, and then she looks over to the old woman and says, "You're beautiful." Because I thought about this only afterwards. That's probably the first old person she's ever seen, because no one is in
Yeah.
the Barbie world. And she says it with such truth. She's not condescending. She says it with such truth. She really means it.
Right.
And I loved, as ironic as the movie is, I loved its sincere moments. I love that. And the music is also incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Music was great. It really was a really, really enjoyable, fun good film. Yeah, that's good. I got to see some live music a couple weeks ago, which was really cool. I haven't been to a concert in a while. And that really feels good for me. That's like a powerful thing for me. It was really nice. It was an outdoor concert and it was like lightly raining. It was like the perfect amount of rain where it was like cool and refreshing and poignant and not overwhelming. It was really nice. I had good company. It was a really beautiful night. It was a venue on the beach. Like, it was just really good for the soul. One of those really good moments.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's good to do things with friends. It's good to do things, you know.
It's important. It's not only good, like, I think it's really important. And I think that's a lot of what I struggle with, especially. You know, with the rejection sensitive shit and whatever, like, I think a lot of what I struggle with is that I have spent a lot of time making peace with myself and learning to like myself and my own company. And I truly do. I have lots of like solo hobbies that keep me entertained, and I like myself.
Yeah, good.
It's when I want company, I want people to share that with, and it's when I can't find that. That I start thinking like, well, maybe I'm not good. Maybe I think I'm good, but I'm not because people don't seem to want me around. And that's when it feeds into that whole kind of thought. I think community is really important, and I think when we don't have it hurts us.
For sure, yeah. For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, shoot. Do it.
Let's say you're on death row or something. You're gonna die tomorrow, and
Okay.
they're giving you your last meal. What's your last
Yeah.
meal going to be?
It's a good question.
You can have anything.
It sucks because like a lot of the things like I would want to prepare the meal myself, or you know what I mean? Like, 'cause I would love to make like my mother's chicken soup.
You could do that. They'll give you access to the kitchen.
I can make it.
Yeah, you can make it.
Okay. Yeah, I think it might be chicken soup. It's like it's got a lot of it's relevant and poignant to me in my life. Like, I think it would soothe my soul before I died. It would put my family and my youth and stuff in my mind. Like, that's the sensory experience that I would have. So
Is
I
that
think I
it?
would go.
You can have multiple courses.
I really think that's it.
Wow, okay. Super
I
nice.
really think, like, I don't want
What's
to
your
go.
recipe? Does it have like a chicken bone in it? Is it like for real?
No, it's like made from scratch. Like, you get the chicken and vegetables and everything, and you make the stock and whatever.
Awesome.
It's really good. And I think, in this theoretical world where I get to also make it and stuff like that, I think it would be a very healing last experience to make and have a bowl of chicken soup.
As a vegetarian, I miss chicken soup. Chicken soup's
Because
good.
like vegetable soups, like minestrone and stuff, are delicious, but it's not. There's no substitute for a bowl of chicken soup.
Chicken soup is soup. It's like the soup that your mother gives you when you're sick.
It's the quintessential soup. It's the soup.
Nice. Really good. I don't know what I would have. I think I definitely have a vanilla milkshake. That's essential. I don't know. Maybe chicken nuggets. I mean, I'm a vegetarian, but maybe I can cheat. Although, you know what? I don't want to go out that way. I'll get like vegan nuggets, but like a bunch of different sauces. Like I want duck sauce and honey mustard and garlic ranch. Like,
Because
give me.
that's the best part of a nugget.
Yeah, give me a bunch of shit to dip it in. Barbecue. And just a big plate of nuggets, and let me go to town and give me a vanilla milkshake
Yeah, I like
and
that.
send me up the river, baby.
And then I'm out. And then we out you.
Peace out. And I'll have some whipped cream on my shake, and they'll be like, doesn't whipped cream hurt your tummy? And I'm like, who gives a fuck?
Right.
That's not my problem.
I'm shitting my pants on the way out anyway. Bye.
I'm not taking a lactate for my last meal. Thank you very
Right.
much.
Fuck that.
By the way, Speaking of the Alamo, they have an Indiana Jones shake
Mm.
that is like an orange shake and it's got orange zest and it tastes like a creamsicle.
I love creamsicles.
Oh my God, it's so fucking good.
Well, now I know what I'm getting next time I go there.
Oh my God, I think it's also like a Dole Whip, like the ice cream Dole Whip. Like that, whoever came up with vanilla and orange taste good together was a fucking genius. So
Agreed.
good.
There was a place when I lived in Florida, when I had my first job, there was a place that was on my way to work that used to serve like it was this thing where they had like an orange ice, and then they would put like vanilla soft serve and they would layer it, and it
Ice.
was like, oh my God, it was the most delicious thing. Like the ice was not an orange cream ice, but it was somehow really creamy. Oh my God, so good. I dream about it.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
This Thursday, I'm going to the Alamo to see the Haunted Mansion.
That's fun.
God, it's like I don't know what to expect. I'm trying to have no expectations. I love the Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion is my favorite ride. I have tons of Haunted Mansion merchandise, and my whole desk is Haunted Mansion themed. I have, so much. So many Haunted Mansion tchotchkes and knickknacks. I've read so many books on the Haunted Mansion. Like, I've gone deep dives on Haunted Mansion, and it's like all of the Haunted Mansion in me could not all be in a movie. You know what I mean? So it's like, I just have to like go with it, and hopefully it like tickles something, you know?
I feel like that's similar to how I felt when the Muppets, the Jason Segel directed one, was coming out. I was like,
Yeah.
okay, all right, like this is big. This is big. Like
Right.
we're gonna have to see how this goes. And as long as the energy's right, it's good. Let's just
Right.
make sure they get the energy of it. I feel like that's a similar feeling, like
Yeah. I don't hate the
when,
Eddie Murphy one from 20 years ago either. And this definitely looks better than that.
20 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh,
I know, right?
wow, I felt that.
I know it's funny, like you'll be like, why are we making this movie? And you're like, well, because the last one was fucking 20 years ago, that's why.
20 years ago. Felt
Sorry
that.
to do that to you.
That's all right.
Sure.
Wow. Okay, so my question for you.
Sure.
What item or, thing other than a house do you feel that once you've secured, you'll have like made it, or like you're a real grown up? Like what?
Oh, a real grown up, or like
Yeah,
I'm
like
just,
it,
yeah.
like what signifies adulthood to you? Like the example that I can think of is for me, like there were certain things that I always wanted to have, and once I got them, I was like, oh, I'm a real grown up, like a cast iron skillet.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like things like that. Like what symbolizes adulthood to you?
Well, I already have it, which is one of those pill things that has the days of the week on them.
Oh, a bill organizer, nice.
So when I got that, I was like, yeah, I'm old. Like
Here we are.
no young person has this.
No, I actually, so funny enough, when I was younger, I used to use a pill organizer to ration my weed.
That's smart.
Yeah, because
That's
I
good.
was like, I'm like, I would put more in it on like, Friday or Saturday because
Sure, of course.
I'm off. I'm gonna be smoking more, whatever.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's so funny. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, but to change the question a little bit, I feel like not what makes me adult, but like makes me feel like, wow, I've made it in this world would be not a house, but in a house, I would a library. If I had my own library with tons of books and a nice chair and a nice little table to put like coffee and tea on and a window, like to me, like, oh, this is it. I have a library. I don't need
I
anything
did it.
else.
Yeah, a library is like having your own world.
Yes, you're having it's your own universe, your own,
Yeah.
all the words.
I actually have I've been able to read some lately. So I actually like I read a physical book. And I've also finished a couple of audiobooks.
What physical book did you read?
So I started reading, it's a popular series that I don't know what the name of the series is, but I read the first book. I think it was a Court of Roses and Thorns and Roses,
Oh,
Roses and
yeah.
Thorns. The one I'm reading now is the second one, A Court of Mist and Fury.
Nice.
It's delightful. And
Awesome.
the audiobook, one of the audiobooks I finished, is actually going to be my recommendation.
Nice.
And it's Minka Kelly's book. You may remember Minka Kelly from Friday Night Lights or Parenthood.
Okay,
But
I
yeah,
don't.
she's an actress, and she's got some philanthropic efforts and such now. But she talks about her childhood and being raised kind of by her mother, but her mother was an addict, and Minka was also often being left, with like her mom's friend that she barely knew, and she would be there for a couple of weeks, and then she would be in this other random house, and all these strangers were taking care of her, and she just talks about her experiences and her healing and stuff like that, and I found it really relatable. I think it's really well written. It was interesting to hear her story. Dug it a lot.
That's very good. My recommendation this week is also a book.
Ooh, delightful. What is it?
I mentioned it before. It's called Don't Read the Comments. It's by Eric Smith. It's actually a novel. It's a very cute story. It's inspired by Gamergate. And it's this cute YA kind of love story about a girl who she runs a Twitch stream and is like a famous gamer girl online and like is playing this video game and lots of people. She like does like endorsements and stuff. She's internet, influencer famous. But in the game, trolls start like attacking her and abusing her because she's a woman in a video game space. And she kind of starts a relationship with this boy who also plays the game and he wants to make video games, but he's also dealing with toxicity on the level of like making games because the person that he's working for is not paying him for his work and stuff. So it's really interesting. It's a cute love story, but it's also about media and Gamergate and gatekeeping and shit like that. It was very cute, but also like some of it's infuriating, even though it's fictional. Because this stuff happens to people.
Sure does.
Women just for existing were being like taken down a peg for nothing, for existing as and so it was, I thought it was a really cute book. It was good.
Another book that I listened to recently, I've learned now that it's trending because it's going to be a series on Apple TV with Brie Larson. But
Love
it's called, I think it's Lessons in Chemistry. I don't think it's Chemistry Lessons. I think it's Lessons in Chemistry. And it's kind of got some of those similar ideas. It's about a woman in the like 50s and 60s, and she's a scientist, and
uh-huh.
she's constantly being discredited and taken down a peg by the men around her and stuff. And some of the parts of it were like downright hard to, listen to, read, whatever. Like just very
Something
real.
true?
I'm sorry.
Is it based on something true?
No, I actually, so on Audible, I know I talk about Audible all the time. I feel like we should get some sort of sponsorship. But Audible, at the end of the book, they did a little interview with the author. And she kind of talks about, the inspiration for the book. And apparently, the main character of this book was kind of like a throwaway character that she had developed for another book. And she just one day was like sitting down to write, and this character popped into her head, and she was like, all right, I guess I'm supposed to tell her story. And that's what she did.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really good, definitely enjoyable. But that same kind of experience of being a woman in a male-dominated space, because this is like She's doing scientific research in chemistry
Yeah.
in the
How
50s and
dare she?
60s. Yeah, like she's just, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember a few years ago there was this thing where a bunch of women writers who worked at Marvel Comics, I guess they went to lunch and they got milkshakes. So they took like a picture of all of them with their milkshakes. And it was like Marvel Milkshake Monday or whatever. So, but there was nothing in it
Love
that
that.
said, but that's all it said. It didn't say, yay, women, or women are the best, or we're women, fuck you. Like it was just,
Right.
we exist, we have this job, we all have the same job, and we're all drinking milkshakes.
And we went out for milkshakes,
And the amount of hate on the comments
yeah.
was just incredible. It's just like you're hating at them for just existing.
For just being women in that space.
How dare you exist?
And be happy
Right.
and not be subservient and there for me to just look at or whatever.
Like my existence, or I'm speaking as them, but like my existence is not a political statement.
Yeah.
You don't have to argue my existence. I exist. I like comics. This is my job. I like milkshakes. What's the problem?
What's the problem with that? I remember the first time hearing the idea that, like, I don't have to exist to be pretty. And hearing it sounds so silly now, but I remember the first time I heard it being like this earth-shattering thing, because literally before that moment, my whole life, the only thing I thought about was how I looked while doing something. What am I going to look best doing? What is going to make me most appealing and most likable to others? And that's how women are taught to behave. We're taught to be as appealing as possible to as wide of an audience as possible.
Course.
And it's fucking terrible because we lose ourselves when we just are trying to be whatever we need to be to get by and to stay safe.
It sucks, but go see Barbie.
Go see Barbie.
Go see Barbie. Well, I think we did it. I think we did a great episode.
Yeah, we talked about so much stuff.
I'll give one more shameless plug. My other podcast, PCMC, we just did our 300th episode. So
Damn.
go over and check that out. It's a pretty fun premise. It's me and a bunch of the contributors all together, which doesn't really happen on that podcast. It's usually just me talking to one other person. And we all pick things to put in a virtual time capsule. So basically we each pick two things from pop culture and art and everything that you could put a time capsule because you think it'll be important for people in the future. So it's a
Love
real
it.
episode. And we love you. Kate, thank you so much for being my friend.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you all for listening. We come out the last Monday of every month. We got plenty of episodes in the backlog for you to listen to.
Yeah. Get to
And
know us. Hang out.
yeah, this is a safe
Yeah.
space. Come on.
Good stuff. Warm, it's cozy, it's a little silly.
Dude, sure it is. It definitely is.
A little bit.
All right, bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.